Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Caritas. Today is Wednesday, October 21st, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. The title of today's podcast is Election Interference. As I'm sure many of you are aware, there was an impromptu news conference or statement this evening by the Director of National Intelligence along with the FBI discussing an election interference event perpetrated, as they are saying, by the Russians and the Iranians. We will get to that shortly. Do want to cover market performance. President Obama was campaigning in person in Philadelphia, in that battleground state of Pennsylvania, trying to get the vote out. We'll have a little bit of a discussion on that. We're going to do the vote count update, as we have been doing here for the past couple of days, with the U.S. Elections Project out of the University of Florida. And then a little bit of a preview for tomorrow night's debate between President Trump and former VP Joe Biden. And then lastly, but actually we'll get to this right now just to get it out of the way, something to keep in the back of our minds for tomorrow's discussion as we get initial jobless claims. California, the state of California, has been on a pause so that they could make their way through their backlog and to implement an anti-fraud system, or a fraud prevention system. Well, time's up. So we're going to see tomorrow if California has updated their numbers, meaning they've gotten through the past 2 weeks of their backlog, and we're going to see what type of an impact this has on those overall figures. It could be quite heartbreaking and devastating. I hope that's not the case. But when you shut things down and say, we got to hold off here for a couple weeks, that's not a pretty picture. And again, this isn't the state of Delaware or Rhode Island, no disrespect to those states, but California's huge. It would be one of the largest economies in the world standalone. So that's something that we're going to have to pay attention to during tomorrow's podcast as we conduct that analysis. First, to some market performance. The dollar continued to get whacked down lower today. However, right now, overnight, it is getting a little bit of a rebound. The dollar index is trading at 92.769. So back with the 92 handle, as we said, was most likely going to be the case yesterday as it was flirting with that 92 handle. But there we are again, 92.7. Nonetheless, we still have the euro and the British pound strengthening against the dollar, as is the case with the Aussie and the New Zealand kiwi. Big day for the British pound, gaining 1.4%. That's huge in the currency market off the back of dollar weakness and a more optimistic tone, as they put it, with Brexit talks with respect to their counterpart in the EU. Now, we'll see what happens there, but that'll continue to be drama and a soap opera, as we have witnessed over the past several years. Then, on the fiscal front, we again have another member of the Federal Reserve, a governor on the board of the Federal Reserve, Lael Brainard, and she has been on the board for quite a while, and she is claiming we need more fiscal stimulus, we need fiscal support. Otherwise, this quote-unquote recovery could go off the rails. Well, she didn't say off the rails, but that's what she's implying. That's how strong everything is, right? This is a super-duper miraculous V-shaped recovery, but we need more stimulus. We need to spend and borrow more money that we don't have. That's what we got to do. Now, you hear through the grapevine, Ms. Brainard, she could be up for a promotion. Mm-hmm. If Joe Biden should win the presidency, there are rumors out there that she will become one of two things in due time: the Treasury Secretary, or perhaps the Chairman of the Federal Reserve once Jay Powell's term expires. What I'm hearing, it's leaning more towards the Treasury Secretary position, but who knows? You can't win with these people, ladies and gentlemen. Yesterday's podcast, Democrats and Republicans have got to go. All of them. everybody means everybody. Draining the swamp? I don't think so. Who's our current Treasury Secretary? Oh, that's right, Steven Mnuchin. Who'd he used to work for? Goldman Sachs. But we're draining the swamp, aren't we? Who was the former Treasury Secretary? Tim Geithner. Who'd he work for? Oh, that's right, he was the President of the Federal Reserve during the Great Financial Crisis. Allegedly convinced Obama, oh no, don't listen to your political analysts who say let the banks fail and stick them with some severe fines and go after them. Oh no, you can't do that. You got to continue with what we were working on with the former Treasury Secretary under the Bush administration, Hank Paulson. Who'd he work for? Oh, that's right, he was the CEO of Goldman Sachs. But we're draining the swamp. You think you put a sign out in your front yard, drain the swamp, you think it's actually happening? Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. And now, if Trump wins, I'm sure he's going to keep Mnuchin there. And if Biden wins, it's likely going to be this woman who doesn't know what she's doing either. She's been there for all of this. Do you get it? Some of you do. A lot of you don't. And you're going to go vote for one of these two demented jokers. And you're actually going to think something is going to happen. Well, yeah, something is going to happen, and it ain't going to be pretty. And it doesn't matter who you choose. So just so you understand this, a member of the Federal Reserve Board, if Joe Biden wins, is likely going to become the next Treasury Secretary, as rumor has it now. And if not, then you're going to continue to have a former member of Goldman Sachs as the Treasury Secretary. But we're draining the swamp, of course. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And of course, the stimulus talks continue today. Oh, yes, we're talking. Friday is another deadline. Maybe we'll have something by then. This is ridiculous. Trump's out there tweeting again, thunder thumbs as he does. Wants more stimulus, but doesn't want to, quote unquote, bail out the states who wasted their money and ran themselves into the ground. And of course, he's picking on the blue states more so than the red. This is a travesty across the country. It really makes no difference whether it's a red state or a blue state, however you want to put them. Thunderthumbs had no problem bailing out corporations, major corporations who squandered their resources on share buybacks to juice the stock market. He didn't have a problem with that. Neither did Mitch McConnell or so many other Republicans. They don't have a problem with bailing out the corporations, publicly traded corporations, mind you, that have access to capital markets, not like a mom-and-pop restaurant or small business. Uh-uh. They can go out. They can hire these fancy Wall Street banks and say, okay, we want to issue more shares. We got to go out to the corporate debt market. Help us underwrite this paper. We can do it. We can tap these markets. How about our banks? We have huge, great relationships with our banks because we're such big customers. Surely they'll lend to us. Oh no, screw all those options. Screw the taxpayer. That's the first option. Thunderthumbs had no problem signing that into law. Neither did all of the Democrats and Republicans. Remember, 96-0, no votes for America. Don't forget. And there was a subsequent vote, 100-0, which was pointed out a week or so ago, as we highlighted on this podcast, by the chief of staff to the president, Mark Meadows, when he issued a letter to the Republicans, which was also signed by the Treasury Secretary. Hey guys, you remember back with the Nobody Cares Act? Yeah, you remember those good times several months ago when you voted 96-0 and 100-0? Yeah, can't we do that again? Can't we screw the American people over again by spending and borrowing and printing money that we don't have? Can't we do that? Please. Because that's what you do in a banana republic. But by all means, go ahead and vote for these jokers again and think you're going to get something different. Go ahead. So the talks continue. But the markets, they, I guess, didn't like it. Not enough. They all sold off today, but it was a choppy session. It wasn't any major sell-off. But nonetheless, it was a down day for the markets across the board. Overnight futures trading, we have the Dow Jones Industrial Average down about 0.5%. The S&P 500 is down about 0.3%. NASDAQ 100 is down about 0.25%. Cash trade in Japan is down 0.75%. a big sea of red across Europe. That could be due to the fact that their respective currencies, the pound and the euro, were increasing. And of course, there's still not a concrete stimulus deal here in the United States. Whatever headline they want to use, of course, their economy is going down the tubes too. But you have big losses. The UK market was down almost 2%, as was the Italian markets and nearly the Spanish markets as well, down 1.7%. Cash trade in Australia is currently down about 0.7%. On the commodity front, crude oil sold off big on, I guess, unexpected increases in inventory. WTI is trading at $39.74 a barrel. Brent is at $41.49. Natural gas made its way above $3 and is at $3.02. Gold and silver both had a good day today, but both are currently down in overnight trading. Gold is trading at $1,914 an ounce, and silver is at $24.81. On the bond front, Uncle Sam's 10-year junk note is yielding 0.81%, so still hanging on there with that 8 handle, and we will continue to monitor this closely, because if the bond market goes, that's all she wrote. And if yields get way higher, go way higher and start spiking, well, then perhaps the Federal Reserve has lost control, and how much more are they going to do to suppress rates? Well, I guess time will tell, but we'll keep you posted. President Obama was in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania this evening, making an appearance for the first time on the trail physically. Of course, he has done webinars and fundraisers for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, but now he is in person in Philadelphia. I caught the majority of it. Quintessential Obama doing what he can for the Democratic cause. You know, the election interference. Nobody can interfere with our elections more than our politicians and more than our media can. Okay? They don't hold a candle. China, Russia, Iran, any of them. They don't come close. Even though they can be very effective, like we talked about a couple weeks ago with the social dilemma, right? Or the social disorder podcast that we did, talking about social media and how easy it can be for anybody. That has some deep pockets or a very creative mind to buy some ads on Facebook or other social media platforms and spread a whole bunch of misinformation and disinformation and flat out lies. Because a lie is going to travel around the world before the truth even gets out of the gate. And all you got to do to trick the vast majority of people, I would imagine, studies are going to be done if they're not already being done or have not already been conducted. Put a picture of somebody on an ad and then put words on that picture underneath their face in quotation marks. And you can make that statement as outlandish and ridiculous as you want, and most people will believe it. Why? Well, it's a picture. There's a sentence and it's in quotations. Clearly, this person in this picture made this statement in quotations. It's on the internet. It has to be true. And then they'll give it a thumbs up. They'll give it a like. They'll do whatever. They'll share it. And before you know it, thousands, tens of thousands, millions of people see this. And a majority of them, again, studies should be conducted if they haven't been already, probably are going to believe it. And if you go back to some of your Nazi propaganda with Hitler and Goebbels, oh, the bigger the lie, the easier the sale. And just continue to claim it. Just continue to make the statement over and over and over again, and people will eventually believe it. Sound like anybody we know? If you keep saying it, it must be true. And of course, that's not the case. So election interference, and again, we're going to get to that. But you have President Obama in Philadelphia campaigning for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. You know, in this time here, you can laugh, you can cry. It's better to laugh, I guess. And I'm trying to. And I actually chuckled a few times during his speech, because it's just all so laughable. What a show these people put on. You know, digging into Trump because it's so easy to do so. and making valid points at the same time. Bringing up the fact that the last 3 years of the Obama-Biden administration, there were more jobs created than during the first 3 years of the Trump-Pence administration. And that's not including what has taken place with COVID-19. Yet Donald Trump would have you believe that more jobs have been created under his administration than ever before. That once he got elected, there was a deviation of trend from how things were moving with respect to the jobs market. But for Donald Trump, all hell would have broke loose. Well, that's not the case. You can look at the data. I provided this data on Capital Economics presentations. It's on our website. Look at the presentations on unemployment. It was a continuation of trend. And Obama was right to point out that it was the longest economic expansion in U.S. history. But what he fails to bring up, and what Thunder Thumbs will never bring up, is that it was also the weakest business expansion in the history of the United States. Gee, I wonder why. Could it have been all of that money printing from quantitative easing and all of that financial asset price inflation? That's where it all went. You think that could have had anything to do with it? Oh, yes, that's exactly where it all went. That's exactly what caused it. Did Donald Trump keep it going? Yeah, he did. Regulation cuts, tax cuts over $1 trillion. Yeah, you deficit spend $1 trillion, over $1 trillion. You're going to get some bang for your buck. But it's going to cost you at the end of the day. And that's what we're about to pay for. In fact, we're paying for it now. And now we have a $4 trillion national deficit. In 1 year alone, mind you. Because of the Nobody Cares Act and everything else. Extremely reminiscent of what the idiots in this country did back during 1929, 1930. Got to do something! Yeah, they did something. They caused the Great Depression. If they allowed the market to rid itself and to cleanse itself of all of the junk that accumulated over the roaring 20s, would have bounced back in a couple years. Instead, you have the Great Depression. Now, because these idiots did what they did, we're in the midst of the greatest depression. People just don't necessarily realize it right now. Of course, those who don't have a job, those who are about to be evicted, they know what's going on. But a lot of people, oh no, they got the stimulus check, they got the extra $600. Trillions and trillions of dollars from around the world are flushed into the system. Yeah, that's going to buy you some time, Jack. Don't be stupid. That's why they're trying to talk about, well, we got to do more. We got to do more. That stuff's running out. Moratoriums are going to get lifted. Evictions are waiting in the wings. Commercial real estate's going to collapse. Landlords are going to lose their property because nobody's paying rent. Massive layoffs coming, bankruptcies, insolvencies. We have no idea how bad this is going to get. All we know is it's been delayed. But it hasn't been prevented. Has not been stopped. Just prevented temporarily. For what? To get through an election? So we can get one of two demented idiots in there? To do what? The same old with the same people who got us into this mess. So there you have it. And Obama, again, making some points. I don't know why they don't push some of those points a little bit more to counteract the Republicans and President Trump, but they really don't seem to bring up some of those numbers. And again, I'm not defending Obama. I don't like him. I didn't vote for him. He could have went down as one of the best presidents ever if he had went after the banks in the great financial crisis. Hope and change. What did he change? Nothing. Kept the same idiots in power. Kept them there. Too big to fail? Made them even bigger. Just continued what was going to happen under the Bush administration. It was just a continuation thereof. And now these banks are bigger than ever before. And is it any surprise when we have what's being done with all of this money printing, with all of these corporate bailouts, as we make our way through the earnings season here for the third quarter earnings, is it any surprise that you're seeing banks with huge profits? Well, all of these companies are turning into zombie companies, meaning they're adding more debt to their balance sheets. Well, somebody has to underwrite that debt when they go out to the corporate bond market, some of them. Well, the banks do that. Banks get free money. They can merge it all together and say, yeah, go to trading desk. making more money than they ever made before. It's good to be a banker, isn't it? Unbelievable. Now, we'll see what type of effect, if any, President Obama has on turnout. But they understand that Pennsylvania is an important state. They got to get that back, that blue wall. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. If Joe Biden can carry those states, most likely he will be the president of the United States. But we're still a couple weeks away, and anything can happen. And Donald Trump does have a path to re-election. Now let's go back to Professor Michael McDonald of the University of Florida in his U.S. Elections Project. Current tally for early voting is at 44 million votes. 44 million. Huge number. We were in the 20 millions just last week. So don't be surprised if, again, we're over 50% come Election Day, if not more. Of that, the breakdown between mail ballots is 32 million, and in-person votes is 11.9 million. Turnout as a percent of 2016 total turnout is now at 32%, with Texas at 60%, California at 35%, Arizona at 41%, New Mexico at 48%, Florida at 38%, Georgia at 46%, North Carolina at 45%, Pennsylvania is behind at 19%, Ohio at 27%, Michigan at 37%, Wisconsin at 34.5%, Iowa at 38.5%. And of course, you can continue, but those are some of the battleground states. And Nevada is at 28%. So, again, this can be good or bad. I think it's probably, to get a better sense as who is likely going to be the next president, it's a good thing that we'll get this earlier, having these votes in. Now, of course, when they can be counted is dependent on those respective states, but at least these votes are in. And Professor McDonald provides some of his own analysis on this, and one of his recent write-ups I thought was interesting, and so I'm going to share this with the audience right now. This is part of it. It says, Trump's eggs are mostly in one basket. While Democrats can feel good about the record number of early voters, I believe the most important story is now tactical. The Trump campaign spent millions of dollars sending mailers, encouraging his supporters to request mail ballots and vote in person. The Trump campaign sent three mailers to my household, meaning Professor McDonald, addressed to the prior occupant, encouraging him to request a mail ballot and vote in person early. This person has not lived here in several years and is no longer on the voter file. That is some poor targeting, his words. His money, Trump's money, has largely been wasted because Trump's supporters are listening to his rhetoric about mail ballot fraud. Even if occasionally he grudgingly tells his supporters to vote by mail or vote early, Republicans aren't doing it yet. Maybe Trump feels he can waste his money this way, but throwing away money only means the Biden campaign has even more of a cash advantage over Trump. Meanwhile, the Biden campaign is analyzing the same early voting data of individual voters available to me. Again, Professor McDonald. They are merrily scratching names off their target universe and reconcentrating their efforts onto voters they want to vote who haven't participated yet. This means that Biden is able to more effectively use the money he has. Trump is putting his eggs into the Election Day basket, and that is risky. It is not unheard of for bad weather to happen on Election Day, a snowstorm, rain, or even a tropical disturbance. Bad weather is known to depress turnout. There will be fewer polling locations because of COVID-19, so Election Day lines could be unusually long and miserable to stand in with bad weather. A COVID issue could unexpectedly shutter an election office or polling location, creating last-minute chaos. Again, maybe Republicans start voting in person over the next 2 weeks. If I were running a campaign, I'd much prefer to be the one where I've already banked millions of votes more than my opponent. Well said, makes an interesting point with respect to the weather. Now, of course, this is still a A couple weeks to go. Republicans can catch up. And just because the Democrats are turning out in higher numbers as of right now, does it mean that all of those Democrats are voting for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? But it is a reasonable assumption. A couple weeks away, anything, and I mean anything, can happen. And of course, we have the debate tomorrow. What are these two guys going to say? I hope it's not as bad as the first one. That's a very low bar, so it shouldn't be. I don't like the fact that the Election Commission on debates or whatever they're called is muting the microphones. I don't like that. It shouldn't be too hard for two grown men running for the presidency to hold their tongue, to be respectful of the other individual while they make their respective points. You have a little respectful banter back and forth. A little bit of interruption is tolerable. But what we witnessed a couple weeks ago was just a disaster and an embarrassment. So I hope that doesn't happen again, but we shall see tomorrow. And then with election interference, again, we're going to get to an article out of CNN just briefly. The rhetoric that we hear from the president himself is discouraging and disappointing. It's a rigged election if he loses. If he wins, it's perfectly fine. I guess that's what was supposed to happen. It's un-American, it's unpresidential, and it just should never be said. You want to win? Go win. Go make your case. Go campaign. Go argue for it. And let America decide. Let the voting public decide. That's how it's supposed to be. I just don't like that. If I lose, it's rigged. But if I win, then everything's normal. I just don't like that at all. Election 2020 security. FBI says Russia and Iran have interfered with the U.S. presidential election. Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe said Wednesday both Iran and Russia have obtained U.S. voter registration information in an effort to interfere in the election, including Iran posing as the far-right group Proud Boys to send intimidating emails to voters. Ratcliffe, appearing alongside FBI Director Chris Wray, said at a hastily arranged news conference Wednesday evening that Iran was responsible for the email campaign, made to look like it came from the Proud Boys, as well as spreading disinformation about voter fraud through a video linked in some of the emails. Quote, this data can be used by foreign actors to attempt to communicate false information to registered voters that they hope will cause confusion, sow chaos, and undermine your confidence in American democracy. End quote. We have politicians who are doing that. The president could be accused of doing some of that. And of course, Joe Biden, too. It's just a circus. It's just a circus. Quote, we have already seen Iran sending spoof emails designed to intimidate voters, incite social unrest, and damage President Donald Trump, Ratcliffe added. You may have seen some reporting on this in the last 24 hours, or you may have been one of the recipients of those emails. End quote. Then you have White House spokesman Judd Deere. He said in a statement that the news conference was an example of Trump, quote, putting America first. How, might you ask? I'll tell you. Quote, the president, has directed the FBI, DOJ, and defense and intelligence agencies to proactively monitor and thwart any attempts to interfere in U.S. elections. And because of the great work of our law enforcement agencies, we have stopped an attempt by America's adversaries to undermine our elections, end quote, Deere said, again, a White House spokesman. Okay, so let's go through this. Trump is putting America first. What does that mean? The president has directed the FBI, DOJ, defense, and intelligence agencies to look into this. Do they really need to be directed to do this? Isn't this what we're paying them for with our tax dollars? This administration, like no other I've ever seen, likes to take credit for things that they're supposed to do anyway. Never seen it like this in my life. And then he claims they thwarted these attempts. Too late, Junior. They just admitted that these emails have already gotten out. So you didn't stop it. You didn't prevent it. They're already out there circulating. Is it a good thing they caught them? Is it a good thing they came to the podium and are informing the American people to be on the lookout? Yes, of course. But again, that's their job. That's why we're paying these people. Is it not? So, America First, he directed them to do this, that, and the other. That's their job. That's what they're supposed to be doing. I don't like this nonsense, but that's what we're going to get. There was another statement, I think. Who is this from? Was it from Marco Rubio and Warner, was it? No. Anyway, there was a statement out by Senator Rubio and Senator Warner, basically trying to tell the country, look, take a deep breath, be very careful with what comes to your email, what you're listening to and what you're reading on social media, what you're listening to in the media itself. Be careful. I mean, this is just ridiculous. And a lot of this stuff, I have no doubt, is coming from the Democratic Party and is coming from the Republican Party and the Biden administration, the Trump administration, okay? Or their campaigns, respectively. Or maybe hands off some political action committee that is spreading a lot of misinformation. That's what they do. This is just so much par for the course. Election interference. Iran, Russia, and China don't hold a candle to what we do to ourselves. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, we interfere in a lot of other countries' elections, too. You ever hear of Iraq? You ever hear of Afghanistan? You ever hear of Iran? You ever hear of Venezuela? Remember, we sent Maduro down there. Hey, go stand in the middle of Caracas and declare yourself El Presidente, and we will claim that you are the president. Remember that one? That's still going on, don't forget. And don't forget that Maduro, El Presidente of Venezuela, according to the U.S. and some other countries, was at the State of the Union address this year. Where did he go to school? I believe he's a graduate of George Washington University. You know, in Washington, D.C. Geez, I wonder how they picked this guy. Don't forget, election interference, it happens all the time. We do it to other countries do it to us. Don't vote for these suckers, but I know most of you are. And round we go. Election interference. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.